Our gospel lesson for this seventh Sunday in the season of Easter is from John 17, verses 1 to 11. Let's read. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." This is the gospel of the Lord. This passage we just read from John 17 is referred to as the high priestly prayer. Jesus was praying for his disciples, including you and me, and he was praying at a critical moment. Later that night, Jesus was arrested. The next morning, he was crucified. So what did Jesus pray for when he was praying for you and me that night? Did Jesus simply pray that you and I would believe that he is who he said he is, and that we would know the truth? Or did he pray that you'd recognize that faith in Christ works? It accomplishes the things you want accomplished in your life. I mean, who cares if it's true as long as it works? You know, in American Christianity, so often the real issue is not whether the claims of Christ are valid. It seems to make no difference, really, whether or not Jesus is somehow both man and God, that he was born of the Virgin Mary, that he suffered under Pontius Pilate. Somehow that doesn't matter, it seems. Because if you're attracted to Christianity because you want your best life now, then who really cares if Jesus rose from the dead? For so many of us, the important issue is, does Christianity work for me? What people want to know is this: if I profess faith in Jesus, will he alleviate my problems? So the pertinent question is, does it work? Instead of, is it true? And so here's what happens. I have a friend, very nice guy, who I'd known for a number of years before he told me that he was a graduate of Multnomah School of the Bible right here in Portland. I was surprised because I knew that he rarely, if ever, went to church. I asked him about that, and he explained, "Yeah, I used to be a Christian, but I eventually just stepped out of all of that." I pressed him a little, and he told me that he'd become a Christian in high school through the Young Life organization. After high school, he decided to spend a couple years at Multnomah getting the equivalent of an associate's degree in biblical studies. Just as he was finishing the program, a series of life crises hit him. A romance went sour. His parents got divorced, and there were other things also. And in the midst of all these life disappointments, he decided that faith in Christ wasn't giving him what he was looking for. As he put it, It just didn't work for me. I know it works for some people, but it just didn't work for me. I hate to admit this, but often I do the same thing. I value my Christian faith based on whether or not it works for me. And you know, honestly, often it doesn't work for us. Not from our perspective. Loved ones die, or we're afflicted with a terrible disease. We suffer failure and disappointment. Life can be terribly difficult. Happens to the best of us. You know, it even happened to people like John the Baptist, who was thrown into prison and then executed. Jesus called him the greatest man ever born. Or St. Paul, who wrote a good part of the New Testament. He was imprisoned, beaten, and tortured, and finally beheaded in Rome. You look at what happened to those guys, and it's pretty clear that neither John the Baptist nor St. Paul were living their best lives now. Maybe their faith wasn't working for them. I don't know. But I do know this. When these great men of God faced horrific circumstances, Christ never failed them, even as they were murdered. Nor will Christ ever fail you. That's the truth. When Jesus prayed for us in John 17, he didn't pray that faith in him would alleviate suffering. He prayed that we'd know the truth about him. He prayed that we'd understand and believe in the authority of Jesus so we can believe that what Jesus said in Scripture is straight from God. He prayed that we'd have faith that he had the power to give even sinners like us eternal life. And in his prayer, Jesus made clear the truth of his divinity, the truth that he was somehow both true man and true God. By the way, that's a truth that's hard to swallow for a lot of people. It's a real controversy. The outrageous fact that God came down from heaven and invaded our world to die for us. How can God die? One of our images this morning is a piece of graffiti from ancient Rome. It's intended to mock a Christian named Alex Menos. It depicts Jesus with the head of a donkey, nailed to a cross, and the words say, "Alexa Menos worships his God." Those who would mock Alexa Menos have a point. The idea that the God of the universe would come down to us in human form and then die as an atoning sacrifice for our sins is absolutely outrageous. But to Alexa Menos and to us, the truth has been revealed. The truth is that God so loves you, you who are sinful, that he sent his only son to die as your substitute, to take the punishment you deserve. Believing and understanding that, that's the hallmark of a Christian. A Christian is not a person who clings to the idea that God exists to advance your own personal agenda of health, wealth, or happiness. Nor is a Christian one who prides himself on keeping all the rules. In fact, a Christian recognizes his or her failures and throws himself on the mercy of Jesus. Listen to St. Paul in Romans 7, who said, "The good I want to do, I don't do. And the evil I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing. What a wretch! Who will rescue me? Thanks be to Christ." Lutheran theologian Rod Rosenblatt said this, "The language of Christianity is the language of substitution. It's not primarily the language of morals. God is not presented as a mother saying, 'Eat all your vegetables.' Instead, Christianity is about a one-sided rescue that we didn't ask for or deserve." In John 17, Jesus prayed that we'd know the truth, and the truth of Christianity is articulated in the words of Scripture and evidenced in the historical events surrounding the life of Jesus, culminating in his resurrection. So here's some truth. Jesus died for you, sinners whose faith often fails. But even when you are faithless, God is faithful and forgiving toward you. Jesus died for sinners like us, trapped in behavior you can't seem to extract yourself from. But when the rest of the world is condemning you, Jesus is merciful and forgiving. Jesus died for sinners like you who've really blown it. Sinners whose addictions or anger or hatred have led you to a dark and lonely place. But to you, Jesus brings peace and light and forgiveness. In fact, Jesus imputes to you, Jesus credits to your account his own perfect righteousness. You have no righteousness of your own, so Jesus gives you his. Read Romans 5. Jesus died for you who are mourning, whose sense of loss and sadness is overwhelming. But Jesus offers you comfort and hope and forgiveness. Jesus died for you who fear the future, who regret the past, who need a friend, who long for another chance. Jesus died for you. That's the truth. Jesus died for you, and you are forgiven and loved. One more truth this season of Easter. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.